Lord of the universe, creator and sustainer, mother and father, giver of all good, what a blessed realization it is to come to the awareness that you have called us together this evening, that you have been holding us together while we grow, and that you feed us with your living word. Lord, help our hearts have ears tonight to listen deeply, to hear your word, to take it into ourselves and make it our own, that we might experience the kingdom of heaven on earth, that we might glorify you by living your life in our own, maybe instead of our own, and that we might give to the brothers and sisters around us the conscious love that you pour into our lives. Move in each of us, Lord. Move in obvious and unmistakable ways. Touch us with your spirit and let us know your love. In Christ.
Staying in that place of deep rest, we'll now rest with God in the power of his word. On this, the fourth week of Lent. So I invite you to just keep your mind open and relaxed and listen with the ear of the heart to a word or phrase that the Holy Spirit would like you to hear today for your transformation in Christ. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I answer you, on the day of salvation I help you, and I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to restore the land and to allot the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those in darkness, show yourself. Along the ways they will find pasture, and on every bare height shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, nor shall the scorching wind of the sun strike them, for he who pities them leads them and guides them beside springs of water. I will cut a road through all my mountains, and I will make my highways level. See, some shall come from afar, others from the north and the west, and some from the land of Cyrene. Sing out, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and shows mercy to his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? Even should she forget, I will never forget you. The word of the Lord. Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord is gracious and merciful. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me will never die. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." For this reason they tried all the more to kill him, because not only he broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. And what he does, the Son will do also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him even greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also does the Son give life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. He gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good deeds to the life, to the resurrection of life, those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
How did you feel when you heard, "Can a mother forget her child?" I just take that in as a feeling. Whoa. That's just biologically, virtually impossible. Mother can't forget her child. So the image Isaiah is using is a visceral image that all of us can relate to. And it's followed by, God takes care of every single bit of this creation. Now, who are these promises being made to? To human beings. Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel, the people of the world. God can't forget you. It's not possible. It cannot possibly happen. Wherever forgetfulness is, it's not in God. It's in people. And the whole of the spiritual journey is to bring people back to God. Not that they were ever absent God, but not noticing. Now, in the Gospel from John, there's a whole theological presentation. We could spend 2 hours on that chapter, on just that bit. But in there is inherently embedded one of the great difficulties that has beset Christianity and that has made it so misunderstood. Because what Isaiah is trying to do is give us an experience. And he's got the best metaphor they had at the time. Hey, mother and child. You can't take them apart. You can't take you and me and God apart either. The reason, however, I think, the reason that we don't have God as an experience, but God we have him as a theological story, categories, causation. We've got all that. But how come it doesn't feel down here like the love that my mother had for me, your mother had for you? If it doesn't feel that yet, then we didn't get it yet. We didn't understand that God wants more than we want to not only reveal himself to us, but to reveal ourselves to us. We belong to him. We don't belong to the world. And so in this Gospel from John, Jesus says, the Father loves me and gives me everything. And here's the Trinity. Here's the Trinity, and this is why God could no more abandon us than a mother could abandon her child. The Trinity and creation are one thing. They are the same thing. The trouble is that at some council, a couple hundred years after the ascension took place, there was an agreement for the sake of political expedience. Well, we'll call that first thing that does all this, we'll call that Father. And the second thing that it all comes from and that does everything, we'll call that the Son. And then that which relates them, we'll refer to as the Holy Spirit. And so as Bernadette Roberts tells us, she said, so everybody gets a picture of a young man, an old man, and a bird. And that's the Trinity. The Trinity is this. Thomas said, God might as well be called Izzy, because he's Izzing every moment. So how is God here in three ways, and how is this manifestation of us and everything around us in God? Well, you may have noticed that recently, as I've been doing the invocation for the services, and I've been adding something to the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've been adding an indicator, a meaning offerer. So when I say Father, in the name of the Father, I also add the word the transcendent. You see, there is something that penetrates every solid thing. There's something that penetrates everything. And there's something that overcomes all forces. Something that all of this is in and that keeps it happening. That's the Father. He is infinite possibility. He is endless creativity. He is limitless creative relationship. He's here. Life. But before life. The Son, on the other hand, is the expressed aspect. It's called logos, or the word. It means the wisdom of God, the creative principle itself. It could be called the form of form. It is somehow present in matter. Matter carries the Spirit. Matter, in our case, carries the Spirit. And then there's the Spirit. It's the love between them. So the Father is constantly giving the Son, this is what Jesus was talking as, everything she or he has. And the Son, maybe you or me, if we'd like to enter into that position, can begin to notice in our own experience that everything is being given to us and that we're totally dependent to receive it. That we are not the authors of our own good or the sustainers of our own lives, that something is living us that is kindly disposed toward us and that has revealed time and time again in our personal lives that it cares about us and it can do anything. So the Trinity is a relationship and it's always moving. It's called a perichoresis, the dance of the divine. The Father expresses the Son, noticing his dependence, says, oh my God, Father, everything I have is yours. And the Father says, no, I give it to you. I give it to you. Everything I have is yours too. So it's one thing in three aspects making all of this happen. And there's no way it's possible to be separate from it. But it is entirely possible not to be here, not to experience it. And in that case, we're, as Jesus said in John, we're in tombs. We're dead. We're caught in mental categories and reflections, and we're not aware in the directness of the right now God. So if we're, you may notice that while we're talking here, you may be present in the room, and then you're back in subjectivity, kind of dreaming a little bit, or maybe analyzing what's said. That's not quite present. And if you study yourself during the course of a day, you'll see that a great deal of our time is spent in inward subjectivity, dreaming of things to be, and maybe thinking of things that aren't appearing to us anymore. Now, that's a tomb. That's a dream of separation. Could I be separate from you? Could a mother be separate from her child? Dreaming of separation isn't equal to separation except as an experience. It's an experience of something that's absolutely unreal. We're not separate from God, nor have we ever been, but look what it will cost you. Look what it will cost you to come and be in this room here now. It will cost you letting go of all the things that seduce you to say they're more important than knowing God now and trusting that He likes you now and that He can do anything for you now. This is what Jesus came to reveal. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one thing and they are everything. In the prologue to John's Gospel, it said, all that came to be through Him, and nothing that was came to be without Him, outside of Him. We are in a field of livingness, divine intelligence. The ethers are filled with vibrations of creative activity. And human beings are called to be co-creators with God. He has made the principles. He has communicated them through the wisdom of the Son. And now He says, it's your world. Make it the kind of world you want it to be. You're not a victim of it. You may be in reaction to it, you may be aping its values, but you have to ask yourself, is that what a human being is for? Just to do what the culture, the world is doing at the moment, and if the fashion changes, change in your current, well, you know, it'll work for a little while, but it has no meaning. The meaning is all interior. And what I hear Christ calling us to do is co-create a world that counterbalances all the violence and oppression and persecution by making it the kind of world we want to be in our own lives. Not waiting for somebody else to do it. Not waiting for some political thing to come down or current events to get so bad we have to do something. But by understanding that God can't let you alone or me alone, He's knocking at our hearts' doors all the time. When we get it, that by letting Him in, He becomes part of us, that He sees through us, acts through us, and that that part that felt separate, it's non-functional anymore. It just goes away. And the directness of Spirit moves. And John, or earlier in John, Jesus is saying, the man born of Spirit is like the wind. No one knows where he comes from or where he's going. I used to think, oh, the man born of Spirit over there, Jesus doesn't know where he's come from, where he's going. It's not true. Everyone born of Spirit loses their self-conscious reflection on their own experience. And they become directly moved by the Holy Spirit. And by faith they live, and by faith they are free and are called out of the tombs to simply be an ordinary person in the ordinary world, living out God's extraordinary love. Nothing fancy about it. But if we'd like more love to be in this world, then it's up to each of us to take responsibility for our own way of being here. It's a moral issue, an ethical issue, as well as a personal relief. What kind of world do I want to be in? See, when I wrote the mission statement for this church, I said each member brings his or her portion of love, community's consciousness, financial support, prayer life at home, to make it the kind of community they want to be a part of. And look at what happened. This is a beautiful place to be. Each of us is bringing his or her best. Now, to walk it out into the world is what Christ is offering us. It starts here in a place where we're all focused, all confronted by the amazement of the Eucharist. But the transformation happens when you realize the Trinity is living me now and always. I'm emerging from the invisible transcendent, the space of existence in which I arise. I'm being moved by something called spirit that I can't account for, and I am present as a being that cannot account for himself or herself. What an amazing thing it is to be a human alive. But the alive part is the hard part. It's so much easier to be a human dead, not taking responsibility, being a victim, reacting all the time, bearing bad news, gossiping, everything that 1 Corinthians isn't. Belonging to God and realizing it is the safest thing in the world. You could not find a safer place because everything in this universe is in divine order. And every particle is in the right place for every other particle. It's astonishing to see how we judge it as broken or wrong instead of getting it. This is the moment of God. This is the life of God. Well, I don't know. I'm going to keep my heart closed just in case I have to protect it against something. I can't be this beautiful to let God come out of me. I have no excuse for it. And people wouldn't understand. The price of admission is letting go of all these little scripts, these judgments that we've carried around as though they were real. They're a dream. They're a dream that we dreamed when we felt we were separate, in a collective dream of people who act like they're separate. And they live in fear. So when we consecrate the offering, we bless it to consciously chosen love on the planet and useless, overcoming the useless acting out from fear. If your mother was watching over you every second, would you be scared of anything? The author of creation is looking out through your own eyes. That knowing that's in you and me goes clear back to the beginning. It's one knowing, knowing through everybody. It's one love, loving through everybody. And it's one life, living through everybody. And the invitation of the Gospels is to know that. That he is a loving and caring God, and you can talk to him and have a relationship with him, even though you can't see him. God is a spirit. Nobody's ever seen a spirit. But the feedback you get when you get into a relationship with it makes it feel like you really are his offspring. And really, he really is responsive to your engagement. Sometimes I hear myself talking in a down way. And every now and then praise starts to come out, exaltation, glorification. And you know what? It's like the sun coming out. Our mouths are leading us. We're telling the story of our lives, and we're co-creating what it's like to be a human being on this earth. What if we started telling God's story? Wherever we go, glory to you. Aren't you a wonder? Isn't this magnificent? Oh my goodness, I exist. Oh my goodness, I'm learning to love. Imagine that, if that was the story we told. When I first started telling that story, I was embarrassed. I used to hide my God literature when people came over to the house to visit. I can hardly believe it now. I'm ashamed of reality. I'm embarrassed because God loves me. I mean, I look back now and those are dark ages for me. We don't talk about these things, politics and religion. Somebody once said, "Why are you smiling so much?" Barbara and I were in India, and this guy on the counter said, "Why are you guys so happy?" Well, because we know God. We had dinner with the guy that night at his house. And I guess the message is simple. Just let God love us and trust that the Trinity knows what it's doing. The divine intelligence knows what it's doing. We're always all in the right place. And what we need to come to is yes. Yes, Father. If it be thy will, if existence be like this and I be here like I am, yes. Even though I wish the cup had passed from me, you bet, yes. We're in a no position to life. You can feel it in your head. You can feel it in your body. No. And yes, that's how we bear life. Okay, let's shut me up. May the love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and always. Amen.